Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Truth as we continue to wade through this rich passage of scripture in Romans chapter number 11. We talked a bit yesterday about the fact that we are saved by grace, and that's always been the case. That was the case back in Elijah's day. That's the case back in Abraham's day. It's the case in Paul's day. It's the case in today. People have always been saved by grace through faith. They've never been saved by their works. They've always been saved by trusting in the sufficiency of another. And that other person, obviously, is Christ, as he was depicted and predicted in the Old Testament, and as he is described for us historically, for us that look back to him and what he did in the New Testament. Look at verse number 7 of our text, Romans chapter 11, where the Bible says, "What then? So grace is not a work. Work is not a grace. They're mutually exclusive in that respect. And so what then?" The Bible says in verse number 7, "Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." Okay, so three things I want to say about this verse. First of all, we're talking about Israel. So what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Remember, we ended chapter 9 talking about something very similar, and that is Israel wants to have a right standing with God. They are seeking righteousness. They have a zeal for God, Paul went on to say in chapter 10, but they're not getting what they're looking for. Why? Because they're not seeking for it by faith. Remember? That's the whole argument of Romans chapter 9. The reason why they are excluded, and these Gentiles, whom the Jews are just so jealous of, how could they, who don't even have the law, who haven't made a fair attempt to keep the law, how could they be considered righteous when we, the curators of the law, God's chosen people, are on the outside? They were incredulous at that kind of thought. And that was keeping them from faith in Christ. But the difference was just that, faith in Christ, believing what God said. So verse number 7 is dealing with Israel. Okay, that's the first thing I want you to see. Second of all, notice that there are two divisions to Israel, two broad divisions that Paul is giving us. Okay, so what's the first division that Paul gives us? Well, look at verse number 7. We're talking about Israel. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Now watch this. But the election hath obtained it. Okay, so there are some in Israel that are called the elect. And that's a corporate term that refers to people that have come to salvation by faith in the offered grace of God, the promise of Messiah. So there are those that are part of the election. And then the Bible says, and here's the last thing I want to say about verse 7, and the rest were blinded. Okay, so in Israel, that's what we're talking about. We have two divisions, one saved, let's call them the elect, and some unsaved. Okay, or we'll call them the non-elect, or the rest is what the Apostle Paul calls them here. So there's no middle ground, either elect or non-elect, or elect and the rest. Okay, makes sense so far? Now, what's important about this is our Calvinist friends would teach that elect means God has selected you before the foundation of the world to be saved or not saved. And you're part of the elect, and therefore you're in. If you're not part of the elect, then there's no hope for you. Now, is that what this passage teaches? And I'm just going to cut to the chase and tell you, absolutely not. Because the people about whom the Apostle Paul just spoke, the blinded ones here, the non-elect, the rest, are people that he's praying for, people that he hopes will be provoked to come back to God, people that can be grafted back in. So far from being this inevitable decision, arbitrary by God before the foundation of the world, no, not at all. What Paul is teaching here is there are people that have by faith, like the Apostle Paul himself, believed the promise of God, are part of the elect, and there are people that are blinded. Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 4. One of the reasons why he used parables or these kind of these word pictures and almost mysterious stories is so that people that were already rejecting him would be hardened, you know, stuck in that shape of their rejection, so that through that rejection, through that hardenedness, the crucifixion, the death of Christ could take place. Remember what Paul told the Corinthians? He said, "For if they had known that he was the Messiah, they would not have killed him." Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So that doesn't mean that those people that were hardened in their stubbornness were therefore damned and doomed to hell, because some of those very people were saved at Pentecost. And some of those very people just a few days later were saved in Solomon's porch on Temple Mount when Peter and John preached. So the point is not an inevitability of lostness. The point here is that the hardened Jews, God used their rejection, God used their stubbornness as a means by which to advance the gospel message to the Gentile world. And that's what we've been talking about now for two chapters. And we're going to see it again right here. Look at verse number 7 again. "So Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. The election hath obtained it. The rest were blinded." And then watch the verse number 8. "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them." So in these two Old Testament prophecies, we see that God had predicted that this kind of stubbornness, this kind of rejection, this stumbling block would come, and that they would trip up over it, and that they would not receive, but rather reject the Messiah. So all of this has been predicted, but look at verse number 10. "Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway." So what's the point? The point is that Paul is establishing the historicity of the Jewish nation and how that God has said from day one, not all Israel is Israel. There's an ethnic Israel born of the seed of Abraham, but then there's a true Israel, those that have responded to the promises of God by faith. And so as it was in Moses' day, as it was in Elijah's day, as it was in Paul's day, there are some that have put their faith in Christ, that have believed the message of God about the seed of Abraham, and there are many that have rejected it. But these that have rejected it, the rest, the non-elect, there is yet hope for them, even in that rejection. Now, where is that hope? Kurt, show me that hope, because I'm not seeing it. Well, let's continue to read. Look at verse number 11. "I say then," so these are hard verses, these Old Testament quotes about the fall and rejection of Israel. It sounds like, wow, God has just written them off. But remember how our chapter began. Our chapter began with, has God cast away his people? No. No, he hasn't. So God still has a plan for Israel. Okay? So what does God say now in verse number 11? "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" Now, what's clear, according to these Old Testament prophecies, and according to the experience of the Apostle Paul, is that they have stumbled. They've stumbled at the message of the cross. Remember, it's a scandal. It's scandalous to them that their Messiah would die such a gruesome death. that their Messiah would be in such utter shame. They stumbled at that. That's clear. But the question that Paul asks is this in verse number 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? So has their stumbling led to an inevitable reprobation? So has their stumbling caused them to eternally fall, that they are done and there's no hope and it's all over and just put a fork in it? Is that what is happening? And the answer, of course, is emphatically no. So look at verse number 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Absolutely not. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So God has superintended this so that even in their rejection, good comes out of it, because the Gentiles now have this opportunity. There's a great example of this in Paul's message at Antioch of Pisidia in Acts chapter 13, then again in Lystra for that matter. And what we find here is that there's great value. The message has gone to the Gentiles, and there's great value to the hardened Jew. Why? Because the hardened Jew now sees these Gentiles claiming to know Jehovah God, claiming to know a Jewish Messiah whom they've rejected. And that's causing them to become jealous. Like, maybe we missed something. And wait a minute, that was our God. That's our God. And so God is using this not only in the lives of Gentiles, but even in the lives of these hardened Jews to stir them, to stir their conscience, to woo them and draw them back. What a great and merciful God we serve. Got just a couple more minutes left. Look at verse number 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world. So Paul says, so the fact that the Jews rejected Messiah, that really was part and parcel to that message getting to the world. So if the fall of the Jews is bringing the riches of Christ to the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, the great benefit the Gentiles have received because of their rejection, watch this, how much more their fullness? Do you see what question he asked there? So if the rejection of the Messiah by the Jews has been actually something that God has used for good, then how much better would it be if, having used it for good and the Gentiles are saved, that those Jews that were previously rejecting would now receive the fullness, that they would understand the fullness of what Judaism is, and that is to receive the Jewish Messiah, to receive the seed of Abraham, to receive Jesus Christ. Do you see what Paul's saying? Paul is saying there is still hope for the rest. There is still hope for the non-elect. There is still hope for these blinded, hardened ones that have been in the stupor, that have rejected. There's still hope for them, which is why Paul continues to pray for them. It's why Paul's heart is still warm toward them. It's why Paul still pleads with them. Why? Because there is hope. I love that. We're going to quit there. I don't want to quit there because this is such a sequence. We're going to jump into verse 13 next time, but hang in there. Things get better and better, and we end the chapter with a great crescendo of praise to God who so richly deserves it. Hope that helps today. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.